your host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to the Alchemy Podcast, where we're on a quest to explore the intersection of cannabis, compliance, and creative in the marketing world today and beyond.
Welcome back to another episode of Alchemy. Today I'm joined with Alex Milligan, founder and chief marketing officer at NUG. And NUG is an online and mobile delivery platform for cannabis, headquartered out of Los Angeles. Really excited to have you on the show, Alex.
Excited to be here, Jeff. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah. So, you know, Alex, I think just to begin the show, you know, you have a pretty interesting and exciting background. You started NUG really during your senior year at university, and I thought it might be nice just for you to talk a little bit about, you know, your experience in launching, you know, one, a company in a completely new industry, and two, launching it while you're still in school.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, we've got quite the fun story. And I'll even bring it back a little bit ahead of us launching the company because it's relevant. So me and my two co-founders, Cam Babazad and Colin Mann, we actually met as fraternity brothers at USC and very quickly realized that we all kind of had that, you know, entrepreneurial bent. And we each had some form of side hustle or business and in high school. And we all knew we kind of wanted to continue that. Actually, Cam was on his way to law school and then dropped out of that to do what we're doing now. You know, we started working together our junior year. This is around the time that Lyft and Uber were just coming onto the scene and starting to gain some attention in LA. And Colin took a few rides. Like, he was the first out of anyone I knew that took an Uber. And I vividly remember it. He came back, you know, we're all living in our fraternity at the time. And he said, this shit is an absolute game changer. Like, college kids are going to be using this without a doubt. And you know, he didn't know whether society at large would embrace this, but he said, this is absolutely necessary for college kids. And we got to do something with this. So he reached out to executives at Uber and basically said, hey, we've got, you know, I've got access to tens of thousands of kids at USC, potentially hundreds of thousands more via, you know, my network of friends at different college campuses in California and across the country. I want to bring you new customers, and I know you're after the college demographic. Will you pay us or pay me? And he eventually, you know, corralled me and Cam shortly after to join him to do that. And so they agreed. I think it was like a $15 or $20 cash commission for every new user. And in those first two weekends, he decided to take to Google Ads, which Uber had not yet invested in. And so he literally brought them like 1,000 users in two weekends, which should have netted him 20 grand, but yeah. They refused to pay him. Uber basically said, hey, we didn't say you could do Google Ads. And his obvious response was, you didn't say I couldn't. But they still refused. And so he basically, you know, that's when he told me and Cam, he's like, guys, like, there's something here. And so we basically took the same deal to Lyft and told them what had happened with Uber and said, hey, you know, can we do the same agreement with you? And they agreed. Granted, they put some restrictions on us. They no Google Ads, no Facebook Ads, a couple other things. But other than that, you're free to go crazy. And so over the course of the next 10 or 11 months, you know, we kind of just became, you know, the buzzword of today is growth hacker, but that's really what we became. We found online and offline ways of bringing Lyft new customers. We did everything from partnering with local businesses, and we created a playbook around that, and then basically recruited thousands of college students from around the country at different college campuses, gave them our playbook, told them how to partner with businesses, and created a multi-level marketing program where they would get a portion of our cash commission, and then the business would get a portion of their cash commission, and scaled it up that way. And then in terms of online channels, we ended up, oh my God, these are the days. This brings back good memories. Get this, it gets a little crazier with the online stuff. This is back in the day when Facebook didn't have so many like spam policies and account restrictions with like needing to verify your ID and all that. Honestly, I think half the reason they did that was from what we were doing. But we ultimately ended up hiring like 10 folks out in Bangladesh who would create Facebook accounts for us day in and day out. And we found this program that would allow us to source public Facebook event groups in any geography in the United States that we wanted to. So we ended up being those spammers on Facebook, posting our promo code with a photo like, hey, don't go to your event drunk tonight. Don't drive drunk. Don't take it to, like, here's $20 off for like the new taxi service or whatever. Mm-hmm. And this thing just blew up. I mean, we were getting, you know, hundreds of users a day through Facebook. Then we created a bot that would put our promo code on these coupon sites and upvote them constantly. So we were sitting like even above the Lyft coupon code. And eventually, you know, they had to tell those sites to take ours down. Anyways, long story short, you know, we did a bunch of pretty interesting stuff to acquire customers for them. We brought them over 40,000 users in those 10 or 11 months.
Wow.
Pocketed a $250,000 between us three. And so we knew we were in like an interesting position, right? Juniors in college, we're sitting on a chunk of change. And you know, thankfully, all three of us were smart enough not to just go blow that on stupid shit. Mm-hmm. And decided that, you know, we wanted to try something of our own and see if we could start a business with no real, you know, aspirations of making it anything huge. We all just wanted experience and wanted to see what it was like to build a company and manage a team. And we quickly landed on the cannabis space. I mean, we saw the Uber, Lyft, Postmates, Washios of the world totally revolutionizing these other industries with on-demand technology. And we saw, you know, as consumers ourselves, especially in LA, how broken the shopping experience was at dispensaries. I mean, I'm sure you're somewhat familiar, as most people are. But I mean, these shops were doing things on pen and paper. They didn't have websites. They didn't have online ordering. You know, you had no idea how long the lines were going to be, whether the parking lot was going to be full. Just everything was so inconvenient about it. But, you know, we all managed. I mean, can't complain too much when you've got, you know, legal or at least medical cannabis in your state. But we knew there was a better way to do it. And, you know, ultimately this led us to launch Nug, the marketplace, in April of 2015. And really, it was, you know, our means of facilitating a better ordering experience for customers from dispensaries that we went out and vetted ourselves. So we wanted it to be a curated marketplace where any dispensary you ordered from would be providing a good experience. You know, and that was the inroads to us, you know, starting this business and getting into the industry. And, you know, from there, we went on to launch. We can talk about that now or I can talk about that later. But that was, you know, the beginning of it. And then we went on to launch three other different businesses. And our most recent one, Nug Club, was launched just a couple months ago. So that's kind of the origin story.
I've seen what you guys are doing with Nug Club and just kind of bringing together the best of the best in a box. You know, obviously, subscription boxes were huge, you know, in so many other industries the last few years. And so I think from a cannabis perspective, it's not something that I don't think it's something I've seen yet, but, you know, talk to us a little bit more about the, you know, rationale behind Nug Club. Are you trying to expose customers to try new products so that they become more loyal customers? Is it so that they can, you know, taste and smoke the best of the best? Like, what is the whole philosophy behind the Nug Club?
Yeah, great question. So Nug Club really is the culmination of our 5 years being in the industry and learning, you know, exactly what customers are looking for, what brands are struggling with, what was wrong with the retail experience. And, you know, we even get it from some of our advisors and mentors saying, like, you are trying to do too many value propositions at once. You got to, you know, focus on delivering stay in a narrow lane with what you're trying to offer customers. But that's what we had done with the marketplace. And ultimately, we launched our own on-demand delivery service, which was also called Nug Club On Demand. And we realized that it wasn't enough to just offer incredible service and a reliable delivery experience. And so Nug Club really brings together affordability in the sense that customers are getting over $225 worth of true retail value in the products that come in the box. And they're only paying $99 for that. And in fact, that's just the minimum limit. You know, some of our boxes go up as high as $280, $290 in value, depending on the preferences you're choosing. So it's extremely affordable for folks. It is products that are being curated by our team of experts. And I hate to use that term experts because it's hard to say what an expert is in this industry, but these are folks that have been with us for years. And going back to the marketplace, we wanted to be the cannabis concierge. We wanted to be the platform where you could come. And even though we did work with great dispensaries, you could ask us, where can I find the right product for me? Which dispensary should I order from? And how do I use these products safely and effectively? And our, you know, we literally created a NUG University training program for these folks. So these folks have been with us for years, and now they are actually going out, finding and speaking with brands all over California, testing products rigorously, and basically saying, whatever we put in this box is going to be something that we would use day in and day out ourselves, and that we trust to recommend to other customers. So we have this curation aspect, right, where people don't have to think or worry that they're not choosing the right products. And oftentimes it can be quite expensive to experiment with these different products. And in this box, you know, we're kind of just saying, hey, here is the best of the best. We're also taking advantage of what we've been seeing happen over the last couple of years now, is customers want an element of personalization, right? They don't just want to have the best products on the shelves in front of them. They want a bud tender to literally be able to say, okay, what are your preferences? What effects do you like, do you seek out, and how do you like to consume? And then here are the exact products for you. So every single box is customized to the individual based on their preferences, which we collect at sign up. So we've got affordability, we've got curation, we've got personalization. And I think last but not least, at least just on the customer side, you know, we saw what MedMen did with kind of the retail experience, and huge kudos to them. I mean, you walk in there and compared to the days when we were going into an LA dispensary, man, just mind blown. It's, you know, that Apple-esque experience. And we wanted to do the same thing for delivery. We didn't see anyone really, really doing that. So, you know, these products come in a beautiful box. They've got, you know, messaging that makes you smile. And then you open this thing up and you've got all these products sitting in front of you. And then you've also got, you know, brand information. So, you know, a story that's being told about the brand and why we chose those products and why you should trust them. And then you can, you know, go online to your profile and get more information on those products later. So really, you know, to bring this full circle, we think NUG Club is a way for people to get the best of the best products in California at a price that they're not going to find anywhere else, in a way that is fun, unique, and exciting, and in a way that is like truly informative and giving them the education that they need to really understand these products and use them most effectively.
So let's just say I sign up for NUG Club. I get my first box. There's all sorts of great products in there. Then I get another box. Is it monthly?
You get to choose your frequency. So it's either monthly, bi-monthly, or quarterly. So we are accommodating different users in terms of how much they consume.
Okay. So like, let's just say then I get my box and the second time around, I'm like, okay, I've tried now 4, 6, 8 products, whatever it might be. And I love the, I don't know, let's take, Bebo, for instance, right? So I had a product that was in the box that I love. Is there a way that I could be like, hey, I want more of that?
Yes, there is. And this is kind of we're trying to strike a balance between discovery and letting people discover their favorites and then giving them those favorites on repeat. So after your first box, we actually just launched this and people are kind of freaking out about it in a good way. After your first box, you can access our wholesale marketplace where you can view all the products that came in all the past boxes, no matter what product category. So even if it didn't originally match your preference, you can see all the prior products and you can purchase those products at 40 to 60% off, essentially wholesale prices, and you can add them on to your next box. So they'll simply come as additions to the new products that you're getting discovered for you by our curators on whatever frequency you're getting that box delivered.
That's awesome. I think, you know, just in my kind of lens of talking to so many brands, you know, in the space and, you know, seeing how they interact with their consumers. And I think brand loyalty is tough right now. It's hard for people to really commit to a brand, especially if they are, I mean, no one's traveling right now, but, you know, if they are traveling and I'm in New York and I come to California, I'm exposed to a brand, I love it, but I can't get it in the other part of the country. I feel like this is a really great way for people to be exposed to great brands, try them, and then, you know, kind of develop more customer loyalty to that brand. So I think you guys are doing a good job there.
That's exactly right. And you know, we knew that the time was right for something like this because we saw what was happening with brands in the sense that even before, you know, COVID, they were really, the biggest bottleneck was simply customer acquisition. And stemming from that was, you know, I kind of alluded to it earlier, is really telling their brand story in a way that allows them to differentiate themselves in the mind of the consumer. You know, the traditional distribution channel is really retail shops. And for better or for worse, you know, even to this day, although it is slowly changing, you know, budtenders unfortunately aren't necessarily armed with the information or the education to really help customers discern between products and brands within a category. And usually it's no fault of their own. Frankly, it's that we have extremely high budtender turnover in this industry. So the second that, you know, a brand is able to take a budtender through, you know, an education course on their products, you know, unfortunately, those budtenders are either moving on elsewhere, finding another role within the industry. So brands have had an extremely tough time telling that story in the way that they want to and being able to build that brand affinity and really differentiate themselves. Whereas here, you know, they come into the box and overnight they have their products directly into the hands of thousands of customers and they're able to tell that brand story the way that they want. And then the other way, we are kind of helping brands ultimately build more and more affinity for their products is compared to, say you go into a dispensary and you're purchasing product, right? There's really no feedback mechanism there unless you just come back and tell the budtender what you thought, but then there's no really way of that budtender routing that information back to the brand. So all the brand is getting by being on a dispensary shelf is sales data compared to other products and brands within their category. Whereas with the box, we're actually incentivizing and I don't even think we would need to incentivize because ultimately the more feedback we get from customers, the better we can choose products for them. After their box, they are going into their profile and reviewing every single one of the products that came in that box. And we're actually letting the brands custom tailor. This is not yet live, but it's the next iteration of this. We're going to be letting them custom tailor the questions that get asked about their product, so that they're actually getting direct feedback from customers in volume in such a way that they can find out what consumers love about their products, what they hate about their products, how they can improve and ultimately iterate over time so they can build that loyalty. And man, it's incredible to see what customers say. I mean, instantly within the first 30 pieces of feedback, you can tell what people love about a brand and what they don't love about a brand. And so we're giving that data back to these brands so that they can improve their products. And ultimately, we want Nug Club to be the platform where brands can go to launch new products and almost test them if they want to, where they could say, I want to target Nug Club's audience, 20 to 30 year old women who are not married, you know, whatever the demographic breakdown is. And I want to put this new product line in front of them and see what they think. That way they can have a meaningful way of actually testing these products instead of doing large batches and putting them on dispensary shelves and having this extremely long feedback cycle to actually understand what the market wants. They can very quickly launch those products through our box to a targeted segment of customers and get that feedback essentially instantaneously.
That's awesome. You guys are obviously moving into different areas of your business, which is great. And I just want to make sure we, you know, have the time to talk about NugMD. And, you know, I think one thing that I wanted to ask you today is, you know, I've been talking to so many different folks across the spectrum, across the country, whether it's an MSO in Chicago or an SSO in California, you know, through this recent pandemic, especially with COVID-19, their businesses have been, you know, changed and they've had to adapt really fast, obviously with curbside delivery. But, you know, that being said, they saw incredible spikes. Obviously, in the beginning, early days, a few months ago with shelter in place, people were freaked out that they weren't going to be able to, you know, go to a dispensary. You know, they didn't realize that cannabis would be deemed essential so that they would still be able to go. But I'm just curious for you guys on the NugMD side, you know, have you guys seen a big increase in, especially New York, but, you know, with people trying to, you know, use telemedicine right, to, you know, go through an evaluation for a cannabis license because they might be in pain or sick and they are not obviously able to go to the doctor. So I'm just curious if you've seen any trends the last 2 months with that.
Yeah, 100%. And just to clarify for any listeners that might not be familiar with NugMD, that is our telemedicine platform that lets prospective cannabis patients go online and video chat with a doctor to get approved for medical cannabis. And that operates in several different states right now. But to answer your question, absolutely. I mean, just as, you know, other telemedicine platforms that are not cannabis specific saw incredible spikes, we saw the same. And it was interesting to see where those spikes were coming from. I mean, it was across the board in every state we operate in. But in California specifically, there was some interesting situations with, even though cannabis businesses were deemed essential, retail shops were temporarily disbanded in some counties, like I believe it was Santa Clara. So folks could only get delivery. And you know, we saw just insane numbers for, and granted they've subsided a little bit. Right. But yeah, no, I mean, we're talking like an overnight doubling of demand for telemedicine evaluations.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense, right? I think people, you know, want to be able to get cannabis and they don't want to, obviously with COVID-19, they don't want to be exposed at a practitioner's office or a doctor's office or whatever it might be. So, you know, in the comfort of their own home, it makes a lot of sense.
Exactly. And it's like so many of these other, I mean, obviously people are theorizing about, you know, what trends are going to stick and which are simply temporary as a result of COVID. But telemedicine is definitely one of those that, you know, we believe is simply going to be massively accelerated by the current situation. And people were already seeing the, you know, the benefits of it. And now they just became so much more obvious. So yeah, I totally agree.
I think telemedicine, you know, outside of cannabis has been explosive before even, you know, coronavirus. I mean, the last 2 years, you know, you've seen all of these medical companies that have popped up where they've got really great interfaces. You can talk to a doctor at any time. You know, they walk you through everything. You know, it's saving people a lot of time where it might not necessarily be an emergency. You know, it can be prescribed over the phone, if you will. So, you know, I think you guys are doing a great job there. You know, just from a just quick question back to what you guys are doing on the NUG boxing side. You guys are only offering this right now in LA proper, correct?
All of LA County, all of Orange County. And this has only been live for 6 weeks, but we definitely plan on expanding quickly. We you know, we have a feeling there's going to be some folks that see what we're doing and think it's a good model to replicate. So we want to, you know, obviously more competition, the better. It creates a better experience for everyone. But, you know, we're well familiar with everywhere in California and have relationships all over. So we're looking to expand very quickly throughout the state. And then ultimately, it becomes a question of where does this model get exported to other states? And, you know, that is the trick question, because the regulatory frameworks in various states make it pretty difficult to pull off delivery at all. Uh-huh. So we'll see how those regulations evolve over the next couple of years. I'm sure just as it has happened with medical and telemedicine, more and more states will adopt a delivery first mindset, just as California has done.
Just imagine at some point in time when you could actually mail it, right?
That would be a huge help to us, because right now that is the, I mean, during COVID, it's a lot easier, but think about this. We need to hand deliver these boxes.
Right.
And because they're not on demand, it's literally like you're getting it once a month. Our tech needs to be able to very seamlessly remind people exactly when, you know, or the window that we plan to be at their home, let them reschedule it. If they need to. But yeah, I mean, you've hit it on the head. Once we can send this thing through normal mail, I mean, that will be a game changer.
Yeah, totally. It'd be amazing. So, you know, Alex, I think just kind of recapping, like, I think you guys have a great business, multiple tier business, you know, kind of hitting so many different focuses on the cannabis space. So wish you guys the most success. And if you've listened to the show before, you know, we always talk about business in the beginning, but we top it off with some quick fire questions.
Let's do it.
All right. First question. If magic was real, what spell would you try to learn first?
I'm just a huge Harry Potter nerd going back to, God, I can't even remember. I was literally in line in London for the fourth and fifth Harry Potter books. I want to do a Patronus for no other reason than that thing is damn cool. And I want to see what animal comes out of my wand.
Very cool. So, okay. Well, on that note, if animals could talk, which animal do you think would be the most annoying?
Ooh, that is a dang good question.
I kind of have one on the top of my head.
But the first thing that comes to mind is squirrels, but I don't think they're very chatty. I can just see them trying. I find them to be devilish in their intentions sometimes. I feel like they know way more than we think they know. And they would, try and play that against us and just mess with us.
So the weird thing is I was actually thinking squirrels too, but then when I was thinking if they can actually talk, I was thinking a rooster because they're so fucking annoying.
For sure. Or crows, man. I have these crows outside of my window. I kid you not, 5:30 on the dot every damn morning. And it's so hot right now here in California that I'm sleeping with my windows wide open without fail. I'm getting woken up every morning at 5:30, just angrily slamming my window shut because they're right outside the window. That's rooster or crow.
Yeah, I've got crows.
Hands down.
I do find though, at least on the East Coast, I feel like now, like going into June, early June, this is the time of the year where it's like the days really are the longest leading up to the first day of summer. And the birds start chirping and like they literally start at like 3:55 in the morning, because it gets light out so early. And so I like to get up, when the birds are chirping and I literally would get out of bed and I'm like, oh my God, it's so early. but I digress. Okay, next question. What's the best thing that happened to you today?
Best thing that happened to me today.
I mean, aside from being on the show.
Yeah, definitely aside from that, this is absolutely the highlight of my day so far. Corona has put me into a pretty regular routine. Yeah. And I've had some lower back issue for years now. I recently got this contraption, this machine that I heard Joe Rogan talking about. It's called the Dex 2. And I put it together a couple days ago. And it's what is essentially a spine decompressor. So you know how there's those like inversion tables where you strap your ankles in and then you go inverted so your head is at the floor and your ankles are up in the air. So this contraption is it basically does the same thing without having to strap your ankles in. It's really leveraging your thighs so that there's like no pain whatsoever. So I've been doing this just for the last couple of days in the morning and at night before I go to sleep. And you hang in this thing for 6 or 7 minutes and you come out of it feeling like $1 million. I mean, there's a visceral difference in your lower spine. And it's just been a nice way to start my day. Good question.
Yeah. So I just wrote that down. Dex 2, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think the brand is called Teeter, T-E-E-T-E-R.
We'll have to check that out. Awesome. Well, listen. Great to have you on the show. Great to hear about all the stuff you're doing. Great to hear about this new thing that I'm going to buy called Dex 2. And I think next, tomorrow morning when we both wake up to the crows, I'll be thinking about you.
Yes, I'll be doing the same and I'll be wishing they were squirrels instead of crows.
Exactly. All right, Alex, thanks for coming on the show, man.
Jeff, thank you so much. And really appreciate what you're doing with this podcast. Incredible, incredible stuff. We need more voices, spreading the word about what's happening in the industry. So thank you so much.
Awesome. I appreciate it.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.